Guess who's back? Back again. Yes, we're back again. This is Evan Matthews. Continuing moving through the back catalog of unposted episodes, here's the next one with additional apologies for being behind on these. We hope you enjoy it as much as we enjoy making it and finally posting it. Here we go. All right.
Okay. Good evening.
We're back.
We are. After a couple of weeks of break.
After a couple of weeks.
Adam. I'm infoing Evan. How are you?
I'm good. So welcome back to Mythmakers. We have been gone for a couple of weeks, and we'll talk about why in just a minute. But this is a show all about storytelling, the process, people, and power of story. I am Evan Matthews.
I'm Adam Martin.
And we have 40 years of collective experience developing, creating, and delivering content across a wide variety of media.
Yes.
And we typically have a specific topic on these episodes, but I think we're going to do a little bit of a catch-up.
It's kind of a catch-up, I think. Exactly.
So this is episode 53. So yep. See, we hit that 52 mark, and then we're just like,
nah. We should stop that. Exactly. We got busy.
We're back.
Exactly.
So we've spent the last couple of weeks shooting and prepping for shooting.
Yep.
And
so 3 weeks to be precise.
Yeah, exactly. So we, we've talked a little bit before, kind of teasing this series that we've been putting together, and then we've been making this series.
It's been very, very exciting.
Which has been very cool. So I still don't think we can say exactly what it is because the official announcement has not been made, but that is coming very soon as well. But what we can say is that we've now spent the last 5 days shooting
a lot of live action pieces.
And so this is us, having written and directed and produced all of this awesome stuff. So I think we can say in broad strokes, we've mentioned before that we've been, creating this stuff for the Yarn platform.
Yarn platform, exactly.
It is all live action. So that means, actors and sets.
People and stuff and locations and all sorts of
practical
all those elements that go in. Yep, it's all good
green
stuff.
Green screen shooting and all of that good stuff.
Yes.
So it's kind of exciting to see, I guess I can say for anyone that's not familiar with it. So, the Yarn platform, which we also did a Dead Town series on. So Yarn combines the format of text messaging with photos and videos and other multimedia elements to create this kind of immersive storytelling.
Interactive,
experience.
Very interactive storytelling. Yeah.
So it's as if you're, consuming or almost eavesdropping on these different characters' conversations with each other. And so the story unfolds very much from a kind of first person point of view or as if you're kind of inhabiting one of the characters on one side of the conversation.
Right. It gives an interesting example of story perspective, which is kind of fun.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're as writers, we're thinking about, kind of whose perspective are we sitting in while this story is unfolding? And sometimes it's effective to even switch that perspective in the middle of a season or between episodes or whatever, because it does dictate, kind of which side of the conversation that you're on, for example.
Yes.
Or in the case of one of these series, we take one season from one character's perspective and then another season from the other character's perspective. And so you kind of get both points of view on a series of events. So it does create a, kind of an interesting dynamic
and a challenge in terms of creating and structuring all this stuff. Yes.
Exactly. So it's definitely a unique exercise, and yet, as we talk about many times on this show, it's those kind of fundamentals still all come into play, but then applying them in a very particular way.
Yes.
So it's been a lot of fun to create all this stuff, and then again, without getting too specific, what's exciting about this project in particular is we've taken sort of this large mega story and figured out a way to kind of break it into a bunch of smaller stories. And so very specifically, the initial pitch was, what if we could do something akin to the Marvel Universe in a way that was specific
to this format
and to this platform. So it's several different series that ultimately intertwine into one larger story. Mm-hmm. And so very much your Iron Man, Captain America, Black Widow, and... Yes.
Just without the cool suits.
Know, without the cool suits. Yes. And then ultimately having sort of an Avengers-type crossover. Everybody
comes together.
Exactly. Yes. So it's been a lot of fun to kind of figure all that out and weave it all together. And then even more fun to actually
doing it. I know. No, it's great. And it is, it's very funny. Obviously, as someone who spent a lot of time on set, it's truly kind of thrilling to see it come together. And showing it was just yesterday morning, especially, we kind of showed up and we were at a location and there was... Yeah. You know, it was a small thing, but there were kind of 15 people in the room all sitting around waiting to be told what to do. And it was like, no, wait. Good God, they're all here because of this.
And we got to tell them what to do.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's very fun. And, you know, I'll say for me in particular, you know, I think in a very tangible way, a culmination of sorts in, you know, a smaller scale, but in some of the stuff that we've been talking about for a long, long while, as far as the type of material that we both want to create and also being able to do it together in this particular way. So for me, that's been particularly fun and thrilling. And,
oh, yes.
And then I just have to give a shout out to everyone that's been involved. The cast has been amazing. You know, we found an incredible makeup
person,
Emma Croft, who we will, you know, sing the praises of from here to eternity.
She's amazing.
Just been amazing. You know, it's almost surreal to be, you know, having conversations about, you know, oh, can you move that prosthetic over a little bit so that we get the best, you know, goriest, throat cut.
Close up. Exactly.
That we can get. You know, like, oh, okay, you sit here. Now, Emma, come over and let's put the blood on. So it's been very fun and very surreal. You know, I'm both excited and also, quite curious, I think is the right word to have my mom in particular see some of this stuff. Cause like I've never been someone that thought I was interested in writing or making horror stuff.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And yet a good portion of this has
a
some
chunk of this is on that, definitely on that spectrum.
Elements to it, which is fascinating and interesting in and of itself.
And oddly beguiling.
And yes, exactly.
The close up examination of blood and pouring and jugulars. Yeah. Oh, it's great.
Exactly.
No, it's great.
And then you see the photos and the videos and you're just like, ew, that is actually quite chilling.
Actually was.
And then the very cool thing is, like, you know, with any of these projects, when you know, it goes from the theoretical to the tangible, and then all of a sudden you start to see the real thing of it. And so we've taken the first handful of chunks of footage and started
completed scenes, basically.
Exactly. And edited them together and did a little bit of post, and you start to see, like, oh, these things really play and they really get the effect that we are going for. And so it's one of those, I think, you know, kind of magical things when the thing that was in your head, you know, actually comes out in reality, and in many cases even better than the thing that you thought was in your head.
And I think it's very much the fun of working with talented actors and talented people doing something kind of interesting and different. People bring, you know, it was fascinating watching it, especially a couple of the older actors. Mm-hmm. Initially being quite skeptical, people with a lot of experience and a little perturbed about what was happening and how it was working and how it was going to fit together. And then working with them kind of repeatedly over the last month, seeing a real shift in them.
Yes.
And a kind of enjoyment of the process and understanding, and, oh, if I do this instead of this and I can do this. It's been great.
Yeah.
It's been really, really cool.
Really cool. Yeah. And I think it's been telling in that regard. You know, just to kind of see, you know, again, just such a talented cast and group of people, you know, kind of grasp what this actually is, and being able to show them examples of, you know, how these things come together, and just, you know, to, as you said, kind of see that understanding shift to, like, oh, like, I get this, and this is cool, and, you know, kind of the extra kind of level of collaboration that brings to the whole thing.
Yes.
I think we've got some.
And
really
watching
cool
these characters that have been created over the last few months really kind of come to life and doing things that you didn't always anticipate, and in the hands of skilled actors, becoming kind of more than what was on the page.
Yeah,
it's great.
No, absolutely. It's also been really fun. Like, we've really gotten, you know, we got some great cast that we knew we wanted right off the bat, which we'll also get to talk about sometime soon. But then it's been really fun finding the right people for the right, you know, to kind of flesh out the rest of these roles. and coming from all sorts of places. So some through recommendations and some through traditional casting sources and, you know, and then, and, you know, in a few fits of serendipity, there have been a few times when it's like, I don't know who this is going to be. And then the right person shows up literally the day before we need to shoot that part. And we've just gotten very fortunate, you know, kind of over and over again with having this great mix of people. And, you know, just one example, you know, one small role that we shot today where, you know, it's just one guy coming in for two quick scenes,
yeah.
You know, he had not worked with anybody else where everyone else kind of like knew each other and was, you know, having a good time. And he just walked in and nailed it.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of came right in
and often those are the hardest parts. Yeah. It's funny. You kind of, I mean, at least he had a real, he had a slightly kind of meatier role to get into. Yeah. He had some real dialogue, but it can be very, very hard to come in, knock out a scene and then disappear again.
Yeah.
It's a real challenge.
Yeah. Exactly.
And he did great.
Yeah.
Absolutely great.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. So we don't know the exact date yet, but we know this is going to start rolling out sometime in the next few weeks, and then we'll continue through the rest of the year, probably into the new year.
January, probably. Yeah,
probably through January. And so we're going from now the majority of the first section of the story now kind of in the can to now diving back into the writing the last chunk.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have probably two and a half days,
yeah.
Or three final days of shooting for this whole collection of content.
Yep.
And then with luck, then we'll be potentially going into more and
yes,
you know, seeing where it goes from there. So very, very exciting, you know, few months and few days. And just can't wait to start showing it.
I know. I just really want to now get it out there and get it in people's hands because it's very cool.
Tomorrow I will be diving into putting more of these things together and playing with some of our green screen footage, which I'm excited about. So shot this very, very cool little green screen moments, which are going to be very fun to kind of integrate into these actually gorgeous backgrounds and elements that we got from England.
Yep. I got my, I guess actually my stepmother.
Yeah.
You know, running around the kind of country house that we grew up in, filming various bits and pieces and kind of some fun stuff and some creepy bits and then sending notes back and watching her do it again. It was kind of great.
Yeah, it's very cool. And that stuff is amazing.
Oh, so yeah, it looks great.
It'll be fun to see that all come together as well. So that's where we've been.
Yes. and that's where we will be, I think, for another month or so. Yes.
In the meantime, more Dead Town is underway. So Stephen is back at work on the next chapter of that for the Macroverse app.
And we got Colors back in finally for Back to Earth.
Back to Earth. So that is, we're literally a couple of weeks away from wrapping that all up. So we've got Colors back in on the final issue of the comic series. The last bits of animation are coming in. So all that is looking great. Very excited to be kind of wrapping that one up as we move forward into other stuff. The Lemley stuff we've talked about is continuing. So that'll also be wrapping up sometime in November. Onward
from there, exactly.
What can you say anything about the other stuff that you're doing right now? The trailer has come.
The
out.
Show comes out. Yeah. Yes. So I indeed. So my kind of, you know, aside from all this kind of incredibly exciting stuff that we're doing together, is you know, I've been first ED on this show called Black Monday, which is a Showtime show coming out in January.
Yeah,
January 20th, 15th. Mm-hmm. Don Cheadle, Andrew Rennell, Regina Hall, Paul Scheer, starring. Don Cheadle as this kind of lone black trader in waspy white 80s Wall Street.
Yes.
And it's...
the working title for the show, Waspy White 80s
Wall Street. Waspy White 80s, exactly. Yes.
Wall Street.
And it's fantastic. I mean, it's like, I knew when we did the pilot way back in February that we had something really special. And doing the show, it's just reinforced that. And... now the trailer is up online, a good Red Band trailer.
Yeah, go find the Black Monday trailer. It is stunning.
Amazing.
Yeah.
The pilot was one of the best parts I've ever seen. The trailer is incredible.
Yeah.
Touch wood, obviously, but it just feels like it's going to be a monster.
It feels like it's going to be a big hit. And the little bits and pieces that I may or may not have seen look spectacular.
Yep.
So I am personally very excited about that.
Oh, yeah.
And definitely go find the trailer, because it is, in my opinion, possibly the best TV trailer I've seen in a long time.
I fully agree. Yeah. No, and there's a real... It's fascinating, because we kind of watched it with some of the other cast members and people here, and there is a few people commenting, this is kind of adrenaline that comes out.
Yes.
Which is amazing.
Yes, absolutely true. It also looks amazing. It looks like a film. It looks stunning.
That's the joy of shooting anamorphic. I mean, it's so funny, it's been wrapping our heads around. So, we've had this conversation before about shooting everything in yarn vertically. So everything is in portrait mode.
In portrait mode, yeah.
And it took me quite a long time to wrap my head around it. And Eben was the one who kind of got the mental shift, which was, you're shooting in native format for this platform. Sorry, that was the dog calling off the sofa. Shooting in native format for this platform, which is the distinct and necessary style for this platform.
Yes.
On the other end of it, it's, we're shooting Black Monday and anamorphic, so it's 2:35:1 ratio. It's huge, beautiful, widescreen. And it's kind of funny going to it.
You're working on both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, right. No, it is.
It's like, if we could just get something in IMAX on the other side.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. But it's kind of great. Yeah. And it is very, it's very, very cool having been the last couple of years, a few years kind of first EDing and really enjoying it and being very involved. And yet there's something distinct and unique and special about it being one's own stuff.
Yes. Absolutely.
Which is cool.
It is a particular thrill to hear good actors performing things that you have written.
Yes.
it's very, very cool.
No, it's great.
So that's what we've been up to. You can find a few little teases with that we've posted without giving any story away on our Instagrams, which we'll give the addresses for again at the end.
Indeed.
But Adam, what is a Hoojma flip?
A Hoojma flip is simply whatever's top of mind at the moment.
Yes.
But whose name I can't quite remember.
Yes.
It also becomes obviously our whatever we've been kind of thinking about this week.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So what would you?
So what is mine this week? So mine is actually a podcast called Without Fail. And I think they're into episode 3 or 4 at this point, and I've been very much enjoying it. So we've talked in previous episodes about the sort of deep dive into startup land and listening to lots of stuff about starting companies, and especially kind of starting tech companies and sort of that whole culture and the way that all works. And it's become a bit of a fascination for me, both as a just sort of a way of applying that mentality to everything that we're doing, and then very specifically in the context of the Macroverse app that we've been developing. This show takes a slightly different perspective on that. So it's the founder of Gimlet Media, who somewhat famously had the first show that Gimlet produced was his own story of starting that company. Take on the whole thing. And that one is fantastic and fascinating in and of itself, because it's very much a real-time journey of someone who is going from a, kind of safe job to starting his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to kind of follow the ups and the downs and the foibles and all that along the way. And it has a, pretty happy ending in that it's successful.
And
the company is doing very well. But one of the things that he talks about in this show, so again, Without Fail, is, Gimlet has now grown to the point where, they're at that stage of being kind of 150 plus employees and big enough where, they've got some stuff that's been optioned out to film and TV. And then, part of the pretext for this show is he's talking about, just as a personal journey, so kind of picking up where startup left off, again, here's a guy that's gone from kind of a normal producer on a radio show to running now this pretty big company. And that's not a natural transition for a lot of people.
Right.
And so this show is him interviewing other people that have gone through that journey and sort of having discussions about, you know, what were the lessons learned, and very often kind of what were the failures along the way.
Right.
And yep. You know, both as a, it's sort of cool in that both it's informative to those of us that are just interested in that kind of thing, but also it's very much, you can tell, like, his own way of, like, how do I do this? and kind of finding a way to learn those lessons in a way that's also beneficial to other people.
Yes.
So it's very cool. So I definitely recommend, you know, that, again, Without Fail. It's a Gimlet show you can find on any podcast service.
Yep.
So that is mine. What about
you?
Very
nice. Mine is, actually, I finally saw Split last weekend.
Yes, very cool.
With the family. And deeply impressed. I mean, McAvoy is tour de force with me. Oh, it's phenomenal. Truly spectacular. Yeah. And the overall concept of the show is, of the movie, obviously, is very appealing. The idea of multiple personalities and them having different strengths and weaknesses that they play into. I mean, it's amazing stuff, but it's also just so exciting to see M. Night kind of regain his footing as a filmmaker, mm-hmm. having obviously forays off into Avatar: Last Airbender.
Right.
And After Earth, what was that Garcia Wilson thing he did?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And The Happening.
Yeah.
And many other classics of that nature.
A string of not so good
movies. Terrible films that tanked the box office.
Yeah.
And I think this is where you get the power of a great producer really comes in. You see them. But, you know, Jason Blum, I'm obviously was not privy to any of these conversations, but you can't help feeling, was like, great, you were a great filmmaker in this little tight kind of creepy way.
Mm-hmm.
Let's find a project that you can do that again with. Let's do it for very little money. I think they spent $4 million on Split.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get some great casts and see what we can do.
Yeah.
And the result, it made $250 million worldwide.
Yeah.
Massive hit, spawned a sequel that's coming out. There's Glass in the new year that looks incredible. You know, it was an impressive little movie.
Yeah.
And all the more impressive because you do, as you know, I think you see the power of a good producer shepherding talented, talented creatives.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of deeply impressed. Basically.
Yeah, very.
Loved it.
Very good. I was surprised how much I loved it as well. And very much, you know, it's funny because in a hopefully not obnoxious way, I think, you know, M. Night kind of became his own punchline.
Yes.
You know, just because, you know, it's like he came out of the gates with such a strong start, and then it was just sort of this, like, every movie kind of got worse and worse and worse for a period of time. And so it's, you know, everybody loves a good redemption story.
Oh,
this
kind
of feels like that because, you know, Split was great and Glass looks like it's going to be
Glass
amazing.
Looks amazing.
It's fantastic.
Yep.
So it's that, you know, you kind of love to root for somebody who seems like they've come back to something that's working.
And
that's, it's very cool to kind of, as a total third party on the sideline, kind of see that, you know, happen.
Oh, absolutely.
So very, very cool.
No, very neat stuff.
Definitely check out that as well if you haven't seen it. And then we do this little segment recently, which we like to call hashtag make stuff, which is highlighting something else out in the world that we think is cool that someone is doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned this before, but I want to mention it again. So this is a project called Neon Wasteland.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to bring it up again because he just launched his Kickstarter. So very, very cool stuff. So this guy... totally blanking on his name. I'm sorry. I'll put it in the show notes along with the link to the Kickstarter. But we had spoken to him a while ago, actually, when we were getting the Back to Earth project off the ground about being potentially being the artist on that project. And he ultimately turned it down because he wanted to focus on his own thing.
His own stuff, yep.
And it's been fun to watch that project called Neon Wasteland develop over the past year and become this very cool thing. And so, you know, here's a guy that's, you know, totally a one-man show and has done a tremendous amount of work in creating this world. So it's this, you know, kind of neon cyberpunky, you know, kind of story and incredibly kind of unique visual style. And then to add on top of that, he's created this his own sort of comic format. So it's a traditional printed comic, but he's gone the extra mile of making a lot of the panels animated. And so the way he is now presenting it on Kickstarter is he's built his own AR app over the, you know, which gives you a way to take your phone or your tablet and literally put it on top, you know, like a look through the camera at the comic and see the pages come to life, which is kind of cool.
That's really cool.
So that's very cool. And then he's also, you know, at this point in the Kickstarter, he started launching some of the extra, you know, kind of the stretch goals. And so I saw one today where one of the cars that's featured in the story, one of the bonus, you know, stretch goal things is like it's almost like a trading card. And when you look through the AR viewer, a 3D model of the car pops up on it. So it's almost like this cool, like, you know,
that's cool.
It looks like this sort of tangible thing. You can rotate it completely around in 3D space, and it's nice. Just very cool. So, you know, I just love the kind of the creative kind of boundary pushing, you know, kind of thing that, you know, especially when it's kind of one person's vision and efforts that's, yes, you know, kind of behind all of this. So, if that sounds at all interesting, just check it out. And, you know, by all means, if you like it, back it, because it's a very cool project.
It really deserves
to be out in the world and in as big of a fashion as it can be. So
yes,
definitely check that out. And you can find us all over social media
at M2 Action.
Again, there's some teases for what we've been working on our Instagram at M2 Action.
Yep. Little bits and pieces.
I am also at M2 Evan, and Adam is at
M2 Adam M.
Yep. So M2 Adam with an extra M at the end. We'll continue to put stuff up there as well. And then
as it launches, there will be
a lot more as well.
Oh, yes.
So find us there and connect. And we like to give a little bit of credit to Brandon Weisel for the fantastic audio intro and outro for the show. Ooh. And we'll try not to take so much time in between episodes.
Well, we're no longer, we're not shooting the next couple of weekends, so it's been very much part of the reason. This is obviously justification, but part of the reason has been, you know, we're shooting here on Saturdays and Sundays.
Yeah.
Sunday nights become about recoup and what are we doing next? And, it's become the kind of ongoing logistics for conversation.
Exactly.
Which means you'll get through as much fun stuff like this.
Exactly.
But we do now.
But yes, we'll be back next week and with a traditional topic episode, I believe.
Yes. Yes.
And so keep, we'll
thinking about what that might be.
Keep tuning in, and we will talk to you soon.
Have a great weekend.
Have a great week.
A week, yes. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.